good day, friends. We're glad to greet you with our Bible open this time to the first chapter of 1 John, where we're going to consider another passage in this series that we've entitled Potent Passages to Ponder. And we hope you're thinking along the line with us on the broadcast today as we deal with those passages that I think really affect a person's thinking, causing them to realize that the Lord has offered that which will benefit them and assist them in serving Him. You know, every so often someone comes up to me and says, well, you know, preacher, I can't understand the Bible. And I often say to a person when we talk to them like that, I say, well, can you understand what you read in the newspaper? Well, they can't see the connection between what they read in the newspaper and read in the Bible. Really, the things that have to do with our salvation are found in God's Word as outstanding facts. Just like you'd read a happening, maybe in a city or a county newspaper, of something that had happened. Maybe you don't even know the people. And even though it may be erroneous, not on purpose, but just because of the frailties of man as far as the newspaper is concerned, maybe it isn't correct. Yet you look at that and you know if there's been an auto accident, that it took place at such an intersection or such a place, whether it be in town or in the country, and you realize that the names of the people are found in there, so you can understand that. Well, the Bible, in dealing with those things that are essential for our salvation, are just like events that are written in the newspaper. Or if you hear on a radio broadcast or a TV broadcast some happening, you're aware of the fact that you've heard this with your own ears. Now the point is that the Word of God is perfect. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's found clear back in the Old Testament. So today we're dealing with something that you can think about, and I believe you can understand it. And I want to read it here from the first chapter of 1 John, and we're going to look at verse 7 on the broadcast today, where we have John saying, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. I think that verse is not difficult to understand, but there are three rules that must be considered when we're dealing with interpretation, whether it be the Bible or whether it be any secular work. We must consider who the speaker is, to whom he is speaking, and what the condition truly is. Now, John is the writer, as we understand it here, and let's point out that John is writing to Christians. He's not writing to alien sinners. He's writing to Christians, and as this general epistle was passed probably from one congregation to another, as it was read in the assembly, as it was no doubt read by individuals and they pondered its meaning, so we understand that it's a teaching that was to benefit those who were in Christ Jesus. Now, he mentioned about the walk in the light. He said, if we walk in the light, and this, of course, implies a walk in Christ Jesus. You know, Jesus came to this earth, and he was spoken of as the light of the world. Earlier in this first chapter of 1 John, it simply tells us that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So the point is that one has come from the darkness of sin, and he's in the light. And it's important that we realize that this teaching is written to Christians. Well, someone says, if that be true, then what does it mean at the end when it says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin? You see, that's one of the points here that we're to ponder in this passage. This indicates to me that since one could look at the alien sinner out here in the world and say, well, I can understand how the blood spiritually had to be applied to his life, but if you're talking about Christians here, how can the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse them from sin? They've had their sins forgiven. They've been washed in the blood of the Lamb when they obeyed the gospel. You see, this indicates that the blood of Jesus Christ is ever present with us. And let's keep this point in mind on the broadcast today, that there are two outstanding properties of blood that we want to keep before your mind. These were to be found in the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. Let's keep in mind that Jesus died. His blood must be applied. Why? For the forgiveness of sins, and also, might we say, to sustain life. Now, that blood did make it possible for our sins to be forgiven. In Acts 20 and 28, it says he purchased the church with his own blood. And that would indicate, since the church must be looked upon as the body of Christ, that it's looked upon as being that which is associated with light. So keep these two points in mind as you ponder this passage. The property of blood is to forgive and to give life. Now, as a Christian, we're going to commit sin. we're going to make mistakes. Someone might say, well, it talks about walking in the light here. But you know, a person might start down a sidewalk in a city or a small town, and maybe it's noonday. Maybe there's not a cloud in the sky. The sun is beaming down brightly. You can see where you're going. And yet it would be possible under that condition for a person in broad daylight to stub his toe on maybe a raised place in that sidewalk. I've known of people that have fallen flat on their faces in broad daylight. It's discouraging. It's humiliating, but it can happen. Paul said in Romans 6 that we talked about last time, he said, the old man of sin is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You know, if someone says, well, I just don't commit sin, I become a Christian. Well, John is talking about that very thing. Notice what he says in verse 8, the very next verse. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then in verse 10 again, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So you see, we can sin. Now, the very fact that a Christian walking in the light can make a mistake, the point is that the present cleansing blood of Jesus is ever present. That blood is ever present. You know, as you think about the death of Christ on the cross, you don't just think of him shedding his blood when they actually put him on the cross, driving the nails through his body. You see, Christ shed blood before he died on the cross, when the crown of thorns was placed upon his head. And then in his death, in the 19th chapter of John, the apostle makes it very clear that the soldiers came and taking a course of what was looked upon as being a humane measure to break the bones of those on the cross, because this was to assure death. They were dying from fatigue and pain and weakness. And when they came to Jesus, he was dead. You know, the prophet David had said 1,000 years before, he keepeth all of his bones, not one is broken. But when they found Jesus was dead, they wasn't thinking about the prophecy, I'm sure. They didn't break his bones, but the soldier pierced his side, and out of that side came blood and water. So you see, even after Jesus died, we had his blood being shed. So the Christian, upon becoming a Christian, is truly cleansed with the blood of the Lamb. When he's immersed into Christ Jesus in water, he also comes spiritually in contact with the blood of Jesus, just as out of the side came Christ in his death, blood and water. So when you're immersed into Christ, you're baptized, buried in water, but spiritually, with full faith in God, the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from sin. And then you come forth to begin the Christian life, to walk in the light. But you see, that blood is still with you. When you go to the house of the Lord this next Lord's Day, and if this broadcast is being beamed in your family circle on the first day of the week, when you go to the Church of Christ today, when you go to the worship, you'll find there upon the first day of the week will be the Lord's Supper on the table. There'll be the bread, which takes our minds back to the broken body of Jesus on the cross, and there will be the fruit of the vine, which takes our mind back to his shed blood upon the cross. So you see, the blood is ever present. And as we walk through the stream of life, much like the illustration that was given to me in the Ozarks some years ago, someone said, you know, they walk as a Christian in a world that has sin in it, a world that has righteousness in it. It's like someone taking a walk, we might say, down a stream barefooted in the Ozarks. Now, if you've been down there, you notice how clear the water really is, and it's like that in other parts of the country, too. But you know, if you're barefooted and you step down in the bottom of that creek, you're going to get some sand, which is not always clean. You're going to get some mud and some slime. But as you bring your foot up, the water that is pure is able to cleanse that foot. And when you bring it to the surface, it's cleansed. So someone said that's just like a person walking through life. We're in a world of sin. We're to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. But we fall, we commit sin, we make mistakes. But the blood of Jesus Christ is ever present. Now to the alien sinner, the blood of Jesus Christ is applied when we repent and when we are baptized. The immersion in water is actually the focal point where we come in contact with his blood. But in the Christian life, you see, since his blood is ever present, since we are a part of his body, And as you look at the body with blood in it, you're very close to the blood when you're a part of the body. And the point is that we are cleansed of our sin by that blood also, that property again of forgiveness and ability to give life. So I believe this was a very encouraging thing to the people who heard this from the pen or from the writing of John. And I want to be encouraging to you on the broadcast today. You know, a lot of times when we're preaching the gospel right down the line, we become very personal from the standpoint of dealing with the souls of men. You have to be personal. We never try to deal in personalities. And we're not offering these lessons to try to depress you. We're offering these lessons to try to encourage you to do what God has in mind. And that's a desire that your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have. They'd be the first people to tell you that they're human. But they realize since they are human, they realize since they since they have the ability and the potential to make mistakes, to misunderstand, that this points out the need for one who is infallible, the need for one who is all-powerful. You know, I'm sure that we all realize that when people say, well, I'm just human, I don't know, sometimes I think maybe they expect us to say, well, of course you can't help yourself. But the point is, because we're human, and we admit that, this indicates that we ought to know that we need that which is divine. Now, we have many writings of men, and these things are human. But what we need, as we point out to you again on this broadcast today, is the word of the Lord. So many, many times people are willing to hear what this man has to say and what that man has to say, and I'm not panning the idea of people teaching the Bible. We're trying to do that. But the point is that we should only follow that teaching as that person follows the Lord. One good criteria that was passed on to me some years ago is that when you hear a person take a position religiously, then you listen for the Scripture and be sure that Scripture has been correctly applied. For even the devil quoted Scripture in the 4th chapter of Matthew, but he didn't apply it correctly. When he took Jesus up there on the pinnacle of the temple, he said, now if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, for you know it's written, and it was back in the 91st Psalm, he tried to quote it, the angels will bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. But he misapplied the Scripture because David back there wasn't writing about tempting God. And Jesus simply said to the devil, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He said, it's written also, and it was back in Deuteronomy. So what am I saying on the broadcast today? I'm simply saying on this broadcast that we should be Christians, and we should realize at all times the potential for sin. The devil is as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. But you see, if we're close to Jesus, if we've taken that yoke upon us, if we're learning of him, if we're walking in sweet fellowship with him each day, we're going to make mistakes. But as a part of his body, we are always close to his blood. And I want you to think about this. I want you to ponder it. And I want you to realize that same blood that the Christian is close to is waiting for you if you're not a Christian. We ask you on the broadcast today to consider seriously what we've said. Hear the word, believe it, repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ that you believe Christ is the Son of God. And don't omit being immersed in water. It's a commandment to be baptized. Acts 10:48. The first Gentile household was commanded to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And Peter offered that by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Well, our time has passed. It goes rapidly, doesn't it? But it's wonderful to spend this time with you, to come into your family circle, and just as though we're sitting down there as a part of the family and talking to you about God's Word. We trust that you'll keep in mind your friendly neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast. They invite you to their services and listen for time of meeting. And also, tell your friends and neighbors about the broadcast. Plan to be with us next time as we continue on, as we reach the midway point in this series, Passages to Ponder.